If you would, open with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, and let's read together verses 21 and 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. I have struggled with finding a specific verse or verses for my text this morning, and some point during William's message this morning, it occurred to me that these two are my verse, but I'm not going to get to them in depth till much later. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This morning, Gabe and his family are gathered together once more, and they are reminded that the measure of our days is in handbreadth. As they do so, and as we remember and think on them, we're also reminded that while we remain in this flesh, we will sorrow as those that we love or lay down their bodies of flesh. And every time that we do so, every time we are called to remembrance, we go to a funeral, something in our nature cries out, why me? Oh, poor, pitiful me. Why do I have to once more say farewell to someone I love? Why do I live with the continued threat that someday, if the Lord tarries, people are going to gather around my empty shell to bid me farewell? Why? Short answer is sin. Do we find a contradiction in the declaration all things work together for good and God's declaration after the flood, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth? How did man, created in the image of God, who God declared good, over in Genesis 1:31, he says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. How did man's nature change from very good to evil? More so, how can that change be declared good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Lord willing, this morning, I want to see what happened in the fall. What actually happened? What is the consequence of the fall to man? Who is the good news from the fall? And what is the condition of those called after the fall? First, what really happened in the fall? When Adam fell, when he sinned against God, did he bruise himself? Did he hurt himself badly? But with the right care, with the right effort, he can be recovered. Or did he, as the scriptures declare, in fact die? Did Adam become as dead and vile as that roadkill I saw on my way here this morning? It had been ran over a few times. Maggots were eating its rotted, decayed body. Is that what Adam became when he died? What do our scriptures tell us? Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Skip down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man. God declared his law to his creature, to his subject, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day, it was no surprise to God when Adam rebelled and sinned against him. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin is death. That's the penalty demanded of God's law. And like God, it is eternal. His law is eternal. His penalty is eternal. When Lucifer, son of the morning, before Adam was formed, said in his heart, I will be like the Most High, he was cast out of heaven. And our Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The wages of sin, the penalty, the earning of sin is death. What does it mean, though, when God said, thou shalt surely die? We are surrounded by death. So much so that I can't imagine what it would be like to not have death. But we can learn something. There's not much told to us about Adam in the garden before the fall. But we can learn something about his nature and what his nature was before he fell. So what happened in the fall? What is life? We lost life. Man lost life. He died. What did he lose? Genesis 2:7 again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now turn over one page back to Genesis 1, verse 20. This is the first recorded use of the word life. And God said, Genesis 1:20, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Prior to this, in verses 11 and 12, God created the plants, but he didn't say that they had life. It was only when he created those beings that have the ability to move that he said they had life. Then he made a separation, a distinction between those beasts and the life that man has. Man became a living soul. For man, there are two lives. There's a life of movement, and there's a life of the living soul. Our Lord said God is a spirit, and he, God, unlike man of the dust, he deals in spiritual matters. What is the life? There's those two parts, the life of movement in the life of a living soul, that personality, the emotions, the affections, the passions, our nature. What was Adam's nature before the fall? What was his spiritual life? Look in chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. First thing we see here is Adam had fellowship with God. He had a nature that allowed them to be together, and there was a trust between the two. God, speaking to Israel in Amos, said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Would God have brought to Adam every creature that he had created, that he declared good? Would he have brought those creatures to Adam for him to name had the two not been in agreement? Had they not been walking together? Now look at Genesis 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Before the fall, Adam had fellowship with God, and he was not ashamed. But what happened after the fall? Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. As soon as he did eat, the man, the woman, and all those in him died. What died? The man is still moving about. He's gone to work. He's making himself some fig leaves aprons. What died? And how's it revealed that death was there? The living soul, man's nature, is what died. It was a living soul, now it's a dead soul. How do we know that? They knew they were naked. They were ashamed. They had no covering for their nakedness, no covering for their want. Then we see verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Because his nature is now dead, he no longer desires to have fellowship with God. He's separated and wants to stay separated. He has no covering for his shame. He is dead in trespasses and sins. The soul that was once living is a dead soul. In the fall, in Adam's rebellion, he died. What about those in him? What about the woman? Genesis 2:6 said, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." And what happened? Nothing. She ate. Her eyes weren't opened. She wasn't ashamed. She did not die. Why not? She was complete in him. Adam had not transgressed. Adam had not sinned. And she was complete in him as long as he was complete. He was the head of mankind, and thus far he had kept the law. In verse 6, continuing, "And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." In Adam, all die. The woman, being made from the rib taken out of the man, was in him. And when he died, she died. When he died, all his seed died in him. That's our nature. That's what we inherit. Dead souls, ashamed before God, having no desire to be in God's presence, earning the just reward of our sin, death. This is so essential, so important, and I know I'm doing a poor job of getting it across. There is no good news to be found in the fall without this foundation. In Adam, all die. Who was in Adam when he died? Eve, the woman, Cain, Abel, Seth, and the list continues all the way down to all of us in here. We were in Adam. We have this example of being in a person and doing in that person. In Hebrews 7, we have another example. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7, beginning in verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi. Levi is the great grandson of Abraham. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Being not yet even thought of, Levi paid tithes in Abraham, just as we sinned against God in our father Adam. You can go back to Genesis. What happened in the fall? Cody read to us in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Man sinned against God, and he died. His nature is enmity against God. The consequence of that death, separation from God, shame and fear. Is there good news to be found in the fall? Genesis 3:15. And I, God, will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the woman's seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is no contingency plan that God made up on the spot. This was no plan B, that man might sin and they might need a redeemer. This was God's anointed. The sin that separates us from God must be paid. The work we did and do has earned us death, and that wage must be paid. Can we pay the debt? Well, to pay the debt of death, you have to have something with which to pay. Only life can pay. And we don't have it. We are born dead. So we don't have anything to pay. We need a redeemer. We need one who has the ability and the willingness to take our debt, to make it his own, to pay the price and to go even further to give us life, because we don't have it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. I have a need to be redeemed. And it has to be, it's a far greater value than those corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, before Adam ever existed, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Before the foundation of the world, God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit entered into a covenant regarding Adam's fallen race. The Father chose of that fallen race, unlike that race that fell with Lucifer. He chose of that fallen race a number to redeem. God the Son, for the love and for the glory of his Father, stood as their surety. When the question was asked, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Our Lord replied, here am I, send me. Knowing the price to be paid, his life, he willingly took up the burden. And he came, shed his precious blood, and paid our debt. And God the Spirit, in that covenant, said, I will call, and I will quicken all those for whom the Son redeems. As we lived in Adam while he lived before he sinned, and as we died in him when he died in sinning against God, so also did those called according to his purpose walk in Christ before God in righteousness. The sin that I am, that dead nature that's enmity against God, the sin that I do because of what I am, that exposes what my nature is, my sin, God the Son owned as his own. And he bore it. He bore that burden, my burden, the burden of all those he came to save, to the cross of Calvary. There, as the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot, he shed his precious blood to pay the price of life owed by those that he loves. Those given to God the Son before the foundation of the world, he has fully redeemed. While Adam lived, while he did not eat of the fruit, we all lived in him. We were complete in Adam. But oh, how fragile was that standing. We need a sure foundation. Who is it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. While we were in Adam, our righteousness, our acceptance before God was secured in a man keeping the law. The problem was that that man was just that, a man, a created being, and nothing more. Today, we are the same as we were in Adam after the fall. Adam, as soon as he fell, he went to work making a covering for himself, while still trusting that he could make himself that covering that would make him acceptable before God. That's a false hope and an unsure foundation. The Lord Jesus Christ, God, not being a created being, God came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He is the foundation stone laid by the Lord God. He is the tried stone. He is the precious cornerstone. He alone is the sure foundation of acceptance before God. When the day comes that our bodies of flesh are laid down and our souls are returned to our Creator, will we be standing on a sure foundation? Or will we be standing on a false refuge that says, I know Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I have fill in the blank. Therefore, I'm saved. Or will you be standing in Christ alone, crying out, Lord, save me, else I perish? If we are in that last day, if we are found standing and trusting in Christ alone, it's not of our doing. It's all of God's doing. The only thing that any child of Adam has ever done is earn our just condemnation. But because God is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee in Christ, we have a future that these minds can't even begin to comprehend. Back in our text, Genesis 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. What happened in the fall? Man was separated from God. Just like that rib that was in Adam was separated from that man. While that rib was in Adam, it had life. It had nourishment. It had ability. As soon as it was separated from man, that rib was dead. The life-sustaining blood from Adam no longer flowed through that rib. But God acted upon that dead rib, and he made of it a new creation. For those, that rib God took and made a woman, something that had not existed before. It was no longer a rib, but it was an entire creation. For those dead sinners that God has chosen, redeemed, and called, the fall in the garden is indeed included in all things work together for good. For the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. And those he saves, those he redeemed, those he gives life. Because the fall, Lord Jesus Christ is the good news of the fall. And one day soon, this body of flesh will be put aside. And in Christ, those he loves and gave himself for will be presented as a bride adorned for her husband. Our Lord said in John 5, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death, that rib that was dead, unto life, that body, that woman, that bride. Pray the Lord will bless that to us, and look forward to seeing Brother Tom Harding tonight, and Lord willing, Gabe will be back Wednesday. And